I'm Marco Werman. You're with The World. Saudi Arabia has attracted a lot of condemnation lately, much of it aimed at the Crown Prince, Mohammed bin Salman. The CIA has said it believes he authorized the horrific murder of journalist Jamal Khashoggi in a Saudi consulate in Turkey last October. The Crown Prince is also behind the ongoing Saudi assault on Yemen, which has created one of the globe's most desperate humanitarian crises. That's what he's been doing outside the kingdom. Inside, he's seen as enacting change, big change. It's all part of his Vision 2030, an ambitious plan to wean the kingdom off its dependence on oil and diversify the Saudi economy. One key part of the plan is entertainment, as in making Saudi Arabia fun. The World's Carol Hills reports.
If you're thinking about a place to have fun, it's probably not Saudi Arabia. Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman is aware of this, and he's investing $64 billion to change the image of his kingdom. He created the generic-sounding General Entertainment Authority, known as GEA, to organize and plan all the fun. The marching orders, themed attractions, shows and performance arts, culture and arts, nature, digital, sports, and sightseeing.
Saudi Arabia plans to turn dozens of islands in the Red Sea into a sprawling, visa-free luxury resort destination.
That suggests that at least some of this new fun will be geared toward tourists and expats without the constraints of Saudi's deeply conservative society. Women there must cover up in public. Gender segregation is the norm. Alcohol is forbidden. But make no mistake, much of the planned fun is to cheer up Saudis themselves. 60% of them are under 30, and they're really bored.
This is a security initiative in some way.
Karen Young studies the Saudi economy at the American Enterprise Institute. She says it's imperative that Mohammed bin Salman get young Saudis on his side.
If you think about the grievances that drove the Arab Spring protest in 2011, a lot of it was about social isolation, especially of young men, of feeling that they followed the rules, they went to school, they graduated, but they couldn't find a job, they couldn't get married, they couldn't have those signals of kind of moving forward in their lives.
For years, fun for many Saudis has meant going elsewhere. In 2018, they spent around $21 billion outside the kingdom, mostly in Dubai. Mohammed bin Salman wants to recapture that money, so he seems to be trying to bring a little bit of Dubai to Saudi Arabia.
The results speak for themselves. The first Comic-Con in Saudi Arabia. The first rap concert. The first jazz festival. And that's only the beginning.
It's a beginning that young Saudis are noticing. I spoke to a 26-year-old woman I'll call Aisha. She doesn't want to use her real name. Aisha lives and works in Saudi Arabia.
I mean, we are happy here now. People are happy. People are satisfied. I do have a lot of Saudi friends that are very happy, and they want more. They're always asking for more, and they were saying, what's yet to come? How can I be freer?
Aisha's from a nearby country and is married to a Saudi man, and she's delighted that there's more to do now. She and her husband went to the kingdom's first ever comedy club recently, and she was surprised by what she heard.
They talked about cultural norms, which was a taboo topic, like how their families treat them, how their families look at this new generation. About women, women's rights was very off topic. I mean, we have never heard that. Finally, women can drive, and, you know, certain jokes about it. It was something we never even dared to talk about.
Popular Western bands are one thing that the new entertainment initiatives are bringing to the kingdom. Last month, the Black Eyed Peas, Enrique Iglesias, and others performed in a music festival near Riyadh. But they'd been under pressure to cancel after the October murder of Jamal Khashoggi.
This notion that Saudi Arabia is opening up, I'm sorry to point out, the fact is it's an illusion.
Nasser Wadadi is an activist with the Human Rights Foundation, which led the campaign to get the Western acts to bow out in protest. Wadadi says these efforts at fun by the Saudi government are all an act.
It's an act to create the illusion that Saudi Arabia all of a sudden is this open and welcoming place. The problem is that it's not an open and a welcome place for the natives, the citizens of Saudi Arabia, who are being thrown in jail for the simple act of tweeting something that somebody in the government doesn't like.
Aisha agrees that there's been little to no reform where freedom of speech is concerned.
That's still limited. I mean, you cannot have an opinion where the government does not approve it.
But Aisha finds herself rooting for Mohammed bin Salman's reforms. He's clipped the authority of the religious police. At least in big cities like Riyadh and Jeddah, they're not on the streets scolding women anymore. And in the workplace, in her own workplace, Aisha has seen dramatic change.
organizations used to have separate places for men and women. Now companies are opening up because they're like, we cannot have women have their own offices and not deal with men only via emails and telephones. You have to see them personally. You have to go and talk to them. You have to go to presentations. This was something that we never saw before.
But some things are taking longer to change. Last summer, a young Saudi woman experimenting with her newfound freedom went to a concert. That's allowed now. She rushed the stage to hug the performer, a popular singer from Iraq. She was pulled off the stage and detained. For The World, I'm Carol Hills.